We're reading Ephesians chapter 6 today, so we're going to start with verse 18. Open your Bibles, Ephesians 6, 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Christian life, it's been called many different things in Scripture, or different descriptions. Remember in chapter 4, Paul calls it a walk. In Corinthians, he calls it a race. He calls it a calling in some places. In chapter 6 here of Ephesians, Paul calls the Christian life a war or a battle. Writing to Timothy, Paul, about himself, gives a testimony at the end of his life. And he calls it a good confession. Confession is something we speak about with our mouth. Paul calls it a good fight in 1 Timothy 6:12. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul to Timothy says, at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race of life. Paul says, I have kept the faith in Jesus. And in chapter 2, verse 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, not only be a good soldier, but endure the hardship of a soldier. Or endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I hope by now you're saying, me too, I want to do that. Like Paul, like Timothy, like remember that long list of faithful believers in Hebrews 11 that obtained a good confession, not like Paul says about himself. He says, I have kept the faith, but that God would say that about you. Everybody in Hebrews chapter 11, and especially at the end there, it says that they obtained a good testimony of their faith from God, or they obtained a testimony from God through their faith. And if you say, how can I do that? The secret is wrapped up in these verses, but it's also wrapped up in what this chapter has been all about wearing and about having and knowing how to use the armor of God. But prayer, what we read about here, is what ties it all together. Prayer is where we get the strength to live this kind of life. Prayer is where we get the strength to use the armor of God correctly and effectively against our enemy. If we are a soldier, if we are at war, if we're fighting, that means we have an enemy. Enemies usually want to destroy you. And our enemy, Satan, is no different than any other enemy. He wants to destroy us. But the good news, Paul says, is that although our enemy, although Satan is strong, the power that we have in our life, the power of the Holy Spirit living in our life, the power of God's armor is greater than the power of Satan. And what that means is by utilizing this power, by doing the things that Scripture teaches us here, we can be victorious over Satan. Last Sunday we ended with the verses in James where James says, resist the devil. Use this armor of God to put up a fight against Satan, and you will be victorious, and Satan will flee from you. We use an example of Jesus. When Satan came to tempt him, how Jesus answered him from the Word of God. We've spent about a month talking about verse 17, about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Many of you know a little bit of Greek, and you know that John, in chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that particular verse, John uses the Greek word logos. Those of you that know a little bit of Greek, some fraternities in college have that name, logos. Okay, logos means the word. Right here, when we look at Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've been thinking about this and we've been speaking about that phrase as the Bible, as everything that's written in here. But the Greek for that particular phrase right here is not logos. The Greek here is rhema. And what that means is a specific word or a tool that is used for a specific application. And what we find in the example of Jesus, knowing the Word of God, Jesus was the author of the Word, was He not? These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of God. Thousands of times in Scripture we say that this is the Word of God. But when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus did not quote to him and did not read back to him the whole Bible that was there at that time from Genesis through Zechariah or through Malachi basically. What did Jesus use from Scripture to answer Satan in his temptation? He used a specific chapter and verse, even though they didn't have chapters and verses in the Bible at the time. But whatever the particular application was, Jesus used a specific word for that application. A surgeon does not use a battle axe or a sword to do brain surgery. He uses a special type of tool. Today, oftentimes, you even use, and some of you that maybe have had microscopic surgery. Some of you may have had your knee operated on, or maybe your shoulder, or sometimes you hear of people have brain surgery with little microscopic tools that go into your bone or wherever instead of cutting open the whole body. You use the right tool for the right job, and what this application here means. Although we have all of the Word of God available to us and we are encouraged to study it and to know it, God encourages us like Jesus to use that specific part that refers to the temptation that Satan is throwing towards us. And you say, what does all of that have to do with prayer? Prayer is where you learn to use this. Prayer, Paul later on, notice in verse 19, says that for me, utterance may be given to me. What is utterance? Utterance is words. This word utterance is translated into English from the Greek logos. Paul says, pray that I would have the right logos to speak in the right application because I am an ambassador. Who is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody that represents one government to another. Who was Paul representing? He was the ambassador of Jesus Christ. And notice here, he says, I am an ambassador in chains. When's the last time you saw the Secretary of State go to represent the United States to another government, show up shackled in handcuffs or chains? Do you see this picture? You see, Paul, physically he's restricted, but he's praying for power that he could speak the right words and logos. And he's saying, we get this power through prayer. Some people say, well, what does prayer have to do with spiritual armor? Everything else that we've looked at so far as far as spiritual armor is something you can pick up. You can hold it in your hand like the shield. You can put it on your head like the helmet, the waistband or the belt. You can put it on. You can wear the breastplate. You can put on the boot camps that, or the boots that you're supposed to wear in battle. These are all things that we can understand. But prayer, how is prayer a weapon? Many people don't even associate verse 18 and prayer as being a weapon or part of the armor that God gives us. But it is actually the most important piece. Because if you don't pray about it, you will not be successful. Prayer is where we get our strength to battle against Satan. Prayer is what ties together all of God's armor. Prayer is something that Paul did a lot of. Over and over in all of the epistles, Paul talks about prayer. And very sadly, prayer is something we do very little of. Our prayer meetings are the least attended of all of our services. We need to ask a question. Why? Maybe we're like Peter. When he was standing next to Jesus, he thought that he was all powerful. And he took out his sword and he was going to fight the whole Roman army, not knowing that he was very weak. And Jesus said, "Today you will betray me 3 times. For Paul, notice that Paul never does anything unless he prays first. Even while he's writing this epistle several times, he stops to talk about prayer. More importantly, not only Paul, but Jesus never did anything without praying. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to die on the cross, did he not? Remember, Jesus says, "I have come," in John 5:30, "I have come to do the will of my Father." And yet, he spends all night praying before he goes to the cross. You say, well, didn't he know what the will of God is? Remember when he was going to choose his 12 disciples, Jesus prays all night. You say, didn't Jesus know when he came down from heaven he was going to have disciples? Didn't he come down? Isn't this how Jesus is going to build the church? This is God's plan. Why is he praying about it? Because in the body, Jesus understood. And he's an example to us. He was an example to Paul. And Paul's an example to us. That we, oftentimes like Peter, do things without praying and then end up being in spiritual trouble. Peter sees Jesus on the water and he says, "Jesus, can I walk on the water?" And you see, in a way, that was prayer. And he was looking at Jesus. And then when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he starts to sink. And then he cries out in prayer again and says, "Jesus, help me." We oftentimes skip prayer because we think we're doing God's work. We're going to church, right? Isn't that what God wants us to do Sunday morning? Sunday night? Thursday night, Friday night, whenever? Doesn't God want us here? Why pray about going to church? You know, we're going to have our offering here in a few minutes. Have you prayed about your offering? That's what God wants us to do, is it not? He wants us to bring our financial tithes and offerings to him. So why pray about it if it's already God's will? You see, God wants us to learn to depend on him. Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. And he says, pray in this way. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today what we need. Not for tomorrow, but for today. Many of us who live in America have never been hungry. Or at least those of us that were born in America have never been hungry because of famine or because of need. Maybe we're hungry because we're on a diet. Or because we didn't have time to buy lunch. We don't even understand what it means to be hungry, and that's why we don't understand why we need to pray and ask God to give us our daily bread. We spiritually sometimes are so fed from being at church so much that we don't understand what it means to be hungry for the Word of God. I encourage you, those of you that have your internet, listen to Steve Lawson's message from pastor's conference about famine in the land. When people, God will send a famine to people. We don't pray because we think we already know what God wants us to do. And yet this is an encouragement. Our time comes to an end. We will continue this next time. But notice what Paul says. How much are we supposed to pray? We're supposed to pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2 talks about prayer. Here Paul says, pray always. With all kinds of prayer, and we'll get into these different types of prayer next time, God willing. But for now, go home and remember this one thing. If you remember nothing else today, God wants you to pray, because in prayer you get strength, and in prayer you draw close to God. Amen.